Hey everyone, I hope this video finds you well. I am recording in Smith Mountain Lake. Becky has a cousin that has a place up here, and so for the week between Christmas and New Year's, we came to spend a few days here, and then we're going to have a Corum Christmas on Saturday the 30th. So we came up here. It's very quiet. It's a beautiful place up here. And this time of year, you don't hear even boats or anything. We're on the water. I did find something interesting here at the house. I don't know much about fishing here at Smith Mountain Lake, but apparently they have some very large ones. This is a fishing lure, and I'm not sure if anyone has caught anything with this, but that's a pretty serious implement. I haven't fished yet. I may get a chance to go down later. And by the way, my name's Rusty. I'm pastor here at New Hope. We are not doing services on campus for New Year's Eve. We decided to give our volunteers and staff the day off. So all of our services this weekend are on demand, online. And if you've missed any of the messages in this series called Still, I hope you'll either go to our website or use our app and get them. This has been a really, not just fun, but it's been a really good series. It's opened up a lot of questions, and I think it's reminded us that God is still who He's always been. He hasn't changed, and He offers us exactly what you and I need. And that is just, it's just hard to even wrap my mind around just how good He is and what it is He's provided. We're closing out this series with a message called Regifting, which I think is perfect. I've done some research on regifting. It's most of us know what that is. I'm using data from a group called goodto.com. They did a survey in 2023, and this is what they came up with. 41% of people have regifted. Something came to them. They, for a variety of reasons, we'll look at that in just a minute, they gave it to somebody else. 19% of people have seriously considered regifting but are not admitting that they've done it yet. I think those numbers might be a little low, but as a regifter, I probably would think that. Top five items for regifting, or categories of regifting. One, beauty and personal care. Another is alcohol. Next one is clothing or accessories, then food. And then the last one is fragrances. That could be perfume or aftershave. And this is what I thought was interesting. The top three reasons that people re-gift. Number three is they just don't like the item. They get it. Oh, I don't want this. And so they give it to somebody else. Number two, they already own one. You know, and in our culture, that's not unusual because people can immediately get whatever they want. It may be that someone didn't know it, so they give them something they already have. The number one reason that people admit is they say it's someone else could use this or make better use of it than I could. I think those are pretty magnanimous, and I think a lot of times regifting is something we do out of it's convenient, it's quick, we got caught off guard. But I want to go with these last two. Already own it, or someone else could make better use of it. And today, what I'd like to do is kind of pull those two ideas a little bit together and show how regifting is something that followers of Jesus should be very good at, and we should be using that opportunity a lot. Already own it. Talking about a relationship with Christ. If I have it, I now have something to offer others. And knowing that someone else could use it, not better than me, but someone else could use it, is really important. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to open us in prayer, and then we're going to look at this idea of regifting. So if you join with me, let's pray. God, there are a lot of things that we get caught up in. We just kind of slide along. We don't really, and I'm afraid this is true for most of us, we're not as deliberate as we should be about how we live. You've given us some opportunities. We're surrounded by them. And I pray that you would use this message today for me and for all of us that are watching and listening, that we would seriously look at what it is we have to offer and not look at it just as our own natural abilities and talents and all, but something we have that you've given us. And that we would begin to look through a lens of what can we offer others that could make a difference in their lives. And that we would allow you to speak to us so that we could be your ambassadors or your force on the field, offering and reaching out to others in a way that really, really matters and that will matter for a long time. Pray that you'd speak to us today, that we would hear, we'd listen, and we'd respond well. In Jesus' name, amen. What I want us to do today is look at a short verse. It's one that, since we started New Hope, it's been foundational for us. And many of you that have been around have heard us use this over and over again without apology, we do. It's not only been a guide from the beginning of our church, but it's a filter that we use for virtually everything we do. And my prayer is, as I've been preparing this, that all of us will consider adopting this passage as one that will be a guide for our relationships throughout 2024. And here it is. This is 1 Corinthians 9, 22 and 23. I'm using the New Living Translation. It says, "Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessings." Let me read it one more time. "Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessings." This is a remarkable passage, and it is full of some directives for you and me, everyone that's a follower of Christ. It's some directives for us to use to determine how we're going to live day to day in the big decisions, little ones, in relationships that are long term and relationships that are very short term. So I'm just going to take this verse apart. I want you to think about it as we do. It starts off, it says, "Yes, I try to find." I try to find means I'm hunting, I'm searching, I'm pursuing. It's kind of like whatever this lure represents is when a fisherman uses that lure, they're out trying to find some fish. They're doing everything they can. If I go fishing, I don't just hang out in my house. I have to go where the fish are. So I'm going to hunt, I'm going to search, I'm going to pursue. And that's what Paul is talking about in this passage. I'm going to do everything I can to be on the lookout and watch and take initiative. It says, I try to find common ground with everyone. This idea of common ground is very uncommon in our culture today. What we do is we look for battlegrounds. We look for people that are the enemy, people that are different than we are. In fact, we like to focus on the differences so we can create drama. We can create the in crowd and the out crowd. We look for problems, irritations, idiosyncrasies, things that we don't understand so we can make fun of them or we can use it against somebody. Common ground is anything but common. And what it means here is that we need to be looking for connecting points with others. You know, every human being on this planet was created in God's image. We have some things in common. Differences, of course, but the differences are easy to see. Finding that common ground, to find the things that we have that we share with others is really, really important. You might have somebody that you just can't stand. You don't like the way they go about living their life. But if you dig deep enough, you're going to find that they have some similar motivations that you do. You may be looking at doing entirely different things to gain the same thing. Some people join gangs because they want to belong. Some people join churches because they want to belong. The idea here is that we need to find common ground. It's on you and me. We need to try our best to find common ground. And then it says, in this verse, it says, "I try to find common ground with everyone." Boy, that's a tough one, isn't it? You know, we don't mind finding common ground with people that are like us or people that we like. But But as followers of Jesus, I'm being told here, I'm being commanded to find common ground with everyone. And that just means everyone. All kinds of people, especially those that are different than me. And I don't have to look very far to see that this is what allowed me to have a relationship with Jesus, is that he came for me. He came for you. He didn't come and demand that everyone be just like him. What he did is he came and he became one of us. He gave up all the perks, all the privileges, all the comfort of heaven. And he became one of us. We celebrate his birth, and he came to live just like us. I remember the story of Mother Teresa and the group that she worked with in India, and that she didn't take all the perks that were offered to her. She could have had better housing and better food, but she chose to live just like those that she was reaching out to. She chose to live in poverty and have a poverty-stricken lifestyle so that they would know she understood them. What Jesus calls you and I to do is to try to find common ground with everyone, get to know them, understand where they're coming from, talk to them, spend time with them, really looking to understand whether it's a different culture, whether it's a different age or stage in life, different background, socioeconomic, whatever it is. You and I are to try to find common ground with everyone. And then it goes on to say this, it goes, doing everything I can. Not just dabbling, not just, slightly or pitifully giving a little nod to other people, but making a full force, valiant effort to get to know them. And remembering how far Jesus went to get to know us. And not just his birth, we celebrate that at Christmas, but recognizing too that he went all the way to the cross for you and me because we desperately needed it. He did everything he could. And what he's saying is, follow my example. Do everything you can to find this common ground with others and to build a relationship with them. I'm going to give two examples that are just simple ones in my life, and they're by no means painful ones, but a bunch of years ago, I had a friend named Rick, and trying to find common ground with Rick. Rick was a big-time weightlifter. I wasn't a weightlifter. I did exercise and all this a lot, but not lifting weights. And Rick loved all that. He loved showing people how, and he had a couple thousand pounds of Olympic weights that he wasn't using because his apartment was too small. So we ended up, Becky and I agreed to transform our basement into a weight room, and it became basically a grunting and straining and yelling room 3 days a week when Rick would come over and show me how to use all this weight equipment. And it gave us a chance. I was helping him with some things, but he was helping me too. And it put us on this common ground, this level playing field. And I remember just so many times just being down there straining and grunting and yelling, but building a friendship together. And Rick ended up becoming a follower of Christ. In fact, he left working out one day and said, it's time for me to do something. And he called later on that night and said he'd accepted Jesus. And then Becky and the kids and I got a cake and went over to his house to see he and Colleen and celebrated with him. But my learning to live in his world with the weightlifting, and quite honestly, it stuck. I still do. Another was a friend named Bob. And Bob was a friend. He had asked me to help him with some things he was going through relationally. And so I tried to find, what is something we could have in common? What is something? And he was a scuba instructor. And so I got him to teach me. I got open water certified for scuba. I never really enjoyed it, though. It seemed like every time I got below 12 feet, I'd get a bloody nose. Don't know why, but I just know Bob was really good at scuba diving. It was something that he was just genuinely interested in. He loved teaching, and so I did that. I wanted to enter into his world. I wanted to get to know him, and as much as I didn't particularly care for the scuba stuff, I really enjoyed my friendship with Bob, and Bob ended up also becoming a follower of Jesus. Those were not big sacrifices, not even the least. But the point is trying to find common ground with others means getting out of our comfort zone and entering into someone else's world. It could be a new skill, a new hobby. It could be all kinds of things that we decide that we're going to do for the sake of building a relationship with somebody else. And we need to go no further than to realize that's exactly what Jesus did for us, is he came to live on planet Earth, and not just to live here in opulence, but to live just like us. He was never wealthy. He didn't have all the privileges that would go along with being the king and the creator. He came to live like us. So, yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. You and I never save anybody. What it's saying is that we get to be part of God's rescue team, his rescue squad, to come in and bring salvation to others, to show them what God offers, to help them to find the freedom that comes from having your sin completely forgiven, to have this brand new life where we get to know what we were created for, who our creator is, to be able to save someone and bring them into this relationship with God means that we do everything we can to help them understand what does it mean to know God and to be rightly related to him. What does it mean to finally find out what it means to be created in his image and for his purposes? There is nothing greater we can do than to introduce somebody to Jesus Christ. And that's what we've been assigned to do, and we've been equipped to do it too. So, yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I do, and this word everything comes back again. It says, I do everything to spread the good news and to share in his blessings. The good news is not about religion. It's not about having a nicer lifestyle or becoming a nicer person to be around. It is this idea of having this brand new life, being adopted into God's family, being one of his children, understanding what that means, and having this relationship with God where he is our constant friend and companion, has purposes for us that go beyond just this life, although this life is important, a lot more than just that. It's this good news that we are not stuck with the guilt and shame of what we deserve, that we have something else entirely offered to us. So, yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to say some. I do everything to spread the good news. And then it says this, and to share in its blessings. This idea of re-gifting, I'm re-gifting what I've been given when I accepted Jesus. I am now sharing that gift with people around me. And there are blessings that come to them, but there are also blessings that come to me as a result. You know, we are constantly bombarded with advertising about how to have a happy life. And generally that means having something I don't have right now, buying this, owning that. It means having a better car, better house, the right job, being able to retire near a golf course. It means all kind of pleasant things in this life. Truth is that absolutely none of that do I get to take with me. When my life is over, however long I get here, that's it. There'll be the old adage is there are no hearses that are carrying a U-Haul, because the only thing that goes is me. I can't take anything with me, but there are things I can send on ahead, so to speak. I got that phrase from Randy Alcorn. And the idea is that there is one thing you and I can do that will build a huge homecoming when our life is over, when we go to heaven, those of us that are followers, and that is being greeted by people sooner or later, people that have also found Jesus because we were part of helping them find him. There'll be no more chances. Once our life is over, there's no more chances to make a decision to follow Jesus. There is an opportunity now. And so this challenge that we've been given. I think it's a life verse to guide us in how we spend our time now, in the big things and the little things, how we spend our time, our money, our influence, our talents, our abilities, and all that. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I want them to come into this relationship with Jesus just like I found. I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessings. There is one good news that is better than anything else, and that is that God came for you and me. He didn't write us off, which he easily could have. He could have said, they're just not worth it. But instead, God sent his son to come and offer us what we could find nowhere else, forgiveness and freedom and hope, and not just new life way down the road, not just eternity sometime, but a brand new life right now. It is the best news anyone can ever have. And we get to experience it, and we get to share it with others. It's just amazing. And so here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to challenge you to join me in something for 2024. I would like for you to think of 3 to 5 people that you know are not followers of Jesus, or you're not sure whether they are or not. I want you to think of them. I want you to write their names down, not necessarily where anyone else is going to see them, but where you will regularly, maybe in your Bible or in a notebook that you keep with you. Put on your computer somewhere, show up on your calendar. And I'd like to ask you to do this, to join me in praying for those people that during 2024, they will come to understand exactly who Jesus is, what this good news is about, and what it is that God offers them. And not just pray for them, but pray for yourself and ask God to help you see how he wants you to be a part of helping them discover who Jesus is and what he offers. And to use this verse, I'm going to read it again. I've read it a bunch of times, that you would let this become your verse, kind of your challenge verse for 2024. And I'm going to personalize it. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. God, this year, help me to do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessings. You and I have a chance to do something that matters, and it's unique to followers of Christ. And it's not just our privilege, but it's our responsibility to re-gift what we've been given so that others will find this new life that God offers now and forever. I hope you will join me, and that we will watch this year and see people cross the line of faith, people get baptized because they finally understand who Jesus is, that we won't do this in an arrogant or apologetic kind of way, that we won't be silent because we're afraid what people think of us, but we also won't be pushy or disrespectful of others that don't agree, or maybe people don't initially respond well. That's okay. Let's look for a winsome way to find common ground with everyone and do everything we can to help them understand who Jesus is and cross the line of faith. How about praying with me? God, it is so good when we sit down and really think about what you've offered us. You have rescued us from the results of our own sin. You've wiped the slate clean at a high price by sending Jesus. And not only have you brought us into your family, but you've brought us onto your team, part of your rescue squad, to show others the new life that you offer and to tell them about it and encourage them to also get to know Jesus too. As we enter into 2024, help us to come armed with a genuine desire to be used by you. Help us to do everything we can to find common ground with others, all kinds of people, and to resist the urge to think we're better than or think that others are less than us. I pray that you'd help us to be creative and bold and courageous in sharing our faith. And not just our faith, but faith in you. God, thank you for your kindness to us. Thank you for sending Jesus. Help us to honor that gift by deliberately sharing it with others around us. In Christ's name, amen. Got a big year coming up for 2024. And in a moment, we're closing out with a great song to end the series and the message today. Have a great end of 2023, and we'll see you next weekend. Bye-bye.